Okay, let's call the meeting to order.
Welcome, everyone, to the Hemingway Point Community Development District meeting. It's January 26th. With us from the board, we have Russ, Anthony, Cheryl, and Randy. I don't know if Carlos is on the phone. I just looked online. I didn't see him, but hopefully he'll join us. He did tell me he would be remote today. Your October 27th minutes have been circulated or in your books, if those are okay. Motion to approve. Thank you from Tony, Anthony, we'll call you Anthony today. Second, from Randy, all in favor?
Aye.
You gotta try to speak up and so our recording can get you. Not a lot on the agenda today, but since the holidays, we thought we'd just chat and cover a few procedural items, one of which is required every year. You already pick your auditor for multiple years. Today, you're just authorizing this year's engagement letter. It's already pre-negotiated, the contract and the terms and everything. So really, it's fairly procedural. So I'd need a motion authorizing the execution of the engagement letter with Grau.
You need a motion?
Okay.
Second?
I'll second it.
All right, seconded by, was that you, Cheryl? Thank you, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Awesome, I feel much better. We did, I didn't see a record button on there, so I don't know where it is on your system, but anyway.
No, but thank you so much.
Thank you for that. That brings us to staff reports, and Mr. Turner, talk a lot so I can finish my coffee. No, I'm just kidding.
I really don't have a whole lot to report at this time. We will get into the normal kind of legal requirement stuff at subsequent meetings this year, but if any of y'all have any questions, I'm happy to field those.
All right. I got one sip in. That's perfect.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'll have more time with my wonderful pretzels, thanks to Cheryl. Our engineer had no report. Our field manager is going to mention a few interactions with the engineer under his report. Just big picture. You know, you guys added the field service to your agenda, you know, so this is the second meeting we've had with paid field management. And just to show you, you know, how the reports. Hey, Carlos, I'll mark you down as present but tardy. Don't do it again. Just kidding.
Don't do it again.
Item C in your book, if you are getting, you know, a lot of you guys are kind of new, but if you'll see the Hemingway Point field report. And Ben, if you want to cover the report, but basically this comes to my office the week that the books are put together. We try to wait just long enough where we can have it as fresh as possible, but not too long where my staff is screaming at Ben for being late, as you might, you know, and so we can still get the books out to you. In the future, other districts, just to give you the big concept, may go to electronic meetings, meaning like a tablet or something like that. And those reports can be updated real time between the beginning of the, you know, the week before the meeting and afterwards. The other procedure with the field report is to put it on the website. So you're, you know, I understand you might have a new HOA staff or leadership taking charge, so they could look at that report and answer a lot of questions probably very quickly. Just, that's the goal of it, is as a communication tool.
So that, yeah, well maybe with this.
Because a lot of things you might see, you know, you'll see that in the report that we're addressing them where they were addressed. And we timestamp everything so you can see who, what, where, and when, that kind of stuff. So go ahead, Ben, sorry.
Oh, no worries. So yeah, we went ahead and put a field report for you. The biggest thing you guys didn't know, obviously you had a dead tree that was months into care that we looked through, so you did a good job of that, is MassTech on the east side of your community. The entrance on 248. So this December, December 9th, we actually went out there to do a field inspection and we were taking our photographs, and lo and behold, MassTech was there tearing up your entrance on the east side. They basically removed all the caducea and installed a conduit for FPL so that they can create a traffic light, which I'm sure you guys will be grateful for in the long run, with Corsica being built right in front of you guys, that you're going to have at least some safety there. So I tried to speak to the project manager. He was in somebody's yard, in the corner lot, that first house on the east side, that corner lot, he was in that person's backyard. So gentleman had his gate shut. I'm seeing him over the wall, and I'm like, hey, can I get your attention? You know, wasn't giving me the time of day. went ahead and took pictures of his truck, the information, he can tell me, yeah, it's Mastech, we'll restore everything, it's Mastech. Well, you know, lo and behold, we walked there for another inspection in January. They did go ahead and restore your Pelusia. They did put it to the exact same size, but they did put a healthy amount of black material. And I went ahead and asked our engineer, you see there, to do another damage report, just to assess the damage. But I took timestamp photographs the day of, which you can see some of them in this report. And I went and took additional timestamp photographs. Sorry, someone's phone is on. But anyway, so you have about $625 worth of damage to your irrigation system that has not been repaired yet. I did get it evaluated by Brightview, who does your wet checks for you. They don't even charge you for the wet checks. If you will do, now we choose to do repairs, and it's a reasonable price, you go ahead and do that. Milton doesn't offer those services. And it's, as Russ refers to it, it's probably because of the gingerbread. I call it like the foam molding that's on your columns there at the top. It was damaged when they ripped out the hedge. That I know for a fact because we were out for several times doing some minor light repairs. I have photographs of the columns. They were not damaged previously. And so, unfortunately, they do this to everybody. The project manager is saying, oh, it was like that when I got there. I have the actual proof that it wasn't like that before they got there. And so I went ahead and escalated to management at Mastech. So, you know, just allow us a little bit of time to kind of work those things through. If I have to, I'll quantify the damages to your columns too. But the last conversation I had with the manager over there was that they have a whole restoration team that'll come out there and can fix those type of things. So I'd rather sit tight and see, let them play it out. If it takes too long, I'll go ahead and present some other numbers to you on how to repair that. We can always talk to, you know, talk to Scott or anybody else to see how you guys want to handle that. Right now, you're about $600 of damage on irrigation.
Okay.
No.
I have a question.
They have to pay for it.
Agreed.
No, I have a question.
Sure.
What about all of those plants that they ripped out of all those people's backyard? Like, it's right in the front of them, those old plants.
That's the Pelusa. Yeah.
That's the Pelusa. They didn't put anything back.
They did replant it. It's not the same size. It will come back. We are close to the rainy season.
Of course.
Those do grow back quick. I promise you guys, by within a few months, you should see considerable growth on those. So I'm not worried about that long term. I'm more worried about just, you know, they didn't leave things exactly how they were. They damaged your columns and they damaged your irrigation system. That needs repair. Everything else should be, they did a decent job. One little spot where they missed some sod, minor things that can easily be corrected. It's those two things that I feel like is going to take us over $1,000.
And they were running conduit for a traffic light or something like
what
that?
What I was told, yes, correct. And it was on behalf of FPL. So Mastech was contracted by FPL, who was contracted by the county, I'm assuming, to put in that traffic light for
They have to. Yeah, they have to now, because I've almost gotten killed about four times trying to get into the development.
Wow.
People coming out of there.
Yeah, I'm sure it was always warranted, and they just got to it now.
So again, just be patient. We are working. I think we'll get this resolved. Mastech has, you know, we have the proof is on our side. So I just want to let it play out. And if we have to keep going higher up the chain over there, we will.
Do we know why the tree died?
No, with the palm tree, no. The head fell off, as I can tell you. You guys have a ton of palms there. They were trimmed and pruned.
Yeah, so that I looked at, there's a few options. And all of them, there isn't anything you can do about them. There's a notorious couple diseases that eat the buds, they die, you can't really see it until it's too late, and the only solution is to cut it out. The other one is lightning, most likely, and lightning can be anywhere in that area, and it can just hit that tree just enough where it kills it and happens. You're lucky that your landscape design has a ton of those royals. You're unlucky because you have a ton of those royals.
Right.
The reason that is they grow out of scale very quickly in your lifetime. You know, they grow a couple feet a year in Florida, especially where you all live. You have the over 70 amount of inches of rain per year, which is tropical, subtropical. That's why all the, you bought a house where it used to be a nursery. Mm-hmm. And there's nurseries that used to be all around. That's why, because of heavy rainfall. So those trees will do really, really well.
It used to be the palm.
Yeah, Manuel Diaz Farms. Yeah. So what the reality is, you're gonna lose a couple, you know, one or two a year, you cut them down. I would recommend planting back, you know, with our, as you need to, with different species that won't grow as tall because they just get too big.
Yeah, that's my next question. When are we going to replace this tree?
So what we did for now, in this case, we sodded it. It's in an area where I don't think it's an eyesore. Milton took care of that. It was a very fair price. I think you guys paid, I want to quote me, about $150 or less for tree removal, stump grinding, and sod replacement. You can't beat that.
No,
I did talk to another company. They were wanting to charge $200 just to remove it. So. Okay, so you guys got a steel there. If you feel that there's a need, we can get quotes for you. But I, based on where it's located, you're so saturated with palm trees there that I don't think anyone's going to notice it's gone.
Didn't we have a dead tree by the pool, too?
We've taken one out there.
You took it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, it was in the buffer around the pool.
Yeah.
There's actually, over the years, there's been two or three, but same situation.
Very common here, and developers love royal palms because they get a bolt rate on them.
They're cheap, yep.
And, you know, it sells houses, but in the long term, that's not something I don't think you guys want to continue to invest in.
I haven't been out there in a while, though, but did you walk the pool deck on your last inspection?
Yes, I did. We had the furniture reorganized when I came out there. If they came back to do a check valve, you guys did have an issue with a water bill which got straightened out. They were, just so you understand what happened there, you had the county that was actually trying to mail to your physical address of your pool, which doesn't have an actual mailing address. So unfortunately, they came and they shut off the water. They caught us right on Martin Luther King weekend. So getting somebody to actually be there for 4 hours and wait for them, because they will not leave the meter running unless there's a person present to tell them that it's okay, because of, I guess, they've gotten burned in the past with leaks and stuff like that. The only reason why your meter was running is because your toilets needed to refill and your autofill hadn't been on for a few days, so for your pool. So the only other things I noticed when we were there was that you guys needed to get a check valve for your pump, so that what's happening is one pump is priming prior to the other. They try to turn on simultaneous, but they're competing with each other for to fill. Air is getting in the line. The check valve is going to resolve all that. So
also, I think it's the last column on the east side of the pool. Isn't there some dropout of the pavers right there?
Last column, east side. I'll take a look at it.
Well, yeah, I think when I first started from the CDB, I think I sent the picture that in the playground, there is a light pole that's off the screw, like tilted. And I don't know if that can fall off or.
Well, no, let's just make sure we get that fixed. Okay, Ben?
No problem.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right forum for it, but...
No, this is the playground's ours.
As you go into the playground, the bench on the left, if you look at the one on the right of the bench, you'll see it. I mean, it's tilted.
So the fixture itself is what's at the top?
The fixture, yeah. The fixture at the top is tilted. Okay. It looks like whenever they put the screws, they either put it down or...
Okay. We'll take care of that.
And talking about the pool, there's a new family that moved in next to me.
Okay.
And they have a handicapped child.
Okay.
In a wheelchair. They've asked me a couple of times about the handicapped chair.
The lift.
Okay.
Okay.
Because she.
You guys want a quote for replacing it then?
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different.
They, you know, they asked me a couple of times about it because she's in a wheelchair.
No, that's fine.
With an aide, you know, always at the house.
So, question on that, is there a way that, because people were just playing with it, it wasn't, is there a way we can get it so that just really people who need it use it?
Yeah, there's a couple of solutions that meet the code. One is you have it sort of staged nearby, not on site, not right in its final configuration, mm-hmm. and it rolls out and locks in, and then they use it, and then it comes out and moves back. That prevents some of that problem, some of it. So we'll look at it and see what we think will work.
Just a thought, because I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, so you know. The ones that are covered, nicely covered, tend to not get as much, you know, attractive nuisance behavior, we'll call it. They're a pain to deal with. But, it, you know, for Cheryl's point, it's important. So,
is there a mechanical lift, manual?
Yeah, there's a couple there's that are hydraulic pump with a lever.
Top of the line, something, well, maybe 3 hours. Top
that
of the line,
code.
I prefer not to replace it with an electronic device, because that's the problem. They broke the electronics on it after they broke the rest of it. Before they broke the rest of it.
Yeah, it's had a long history in your community.
So if it's a mechanical lift that requires,
there's,
you know...
There's some other stories.
Yes, there's many other stories.
It's a minor muscle to make it work.
Okay.
That would be better, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm meeting the contractor after you go over the pool area.
I mean, as long as that meets code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at it. Yeah, they're OSHA certified, ADA certified. Those are the two.
Okay.
Bodies that we have to.
I'll talk to both our maintenance person and our pool company and we'll get you guys some options.
Okay.
And I know about the lights. I know we've got some lights on the perimeter.
Yes.
I'm going to get you guys a quote just to, again, the issue you guys have with perimeter wall lights is the transformer and everything, the panel, it has to be on the opposite side of the wall where it's private property. And so being able to service and repair those lights is going to be much easier if we have access to it during business hours and without having to rely on somebody giving us permission. So what we're going to do is, and I'll talk to Paul, if it meets within our threshold, we'll just get it done, is move it to the other side of the wall. And that way they have access to it anytime. It's going to make the maintenance a lot quicker and easier.
Exactly.
Okay?
Maybe put it down below the bushes.
Of course. The idea is keep it out of sight so it's not an eyesore.
You don't live near there. Can't put it on your house.
No. You're gonna have to trench a wire like.
Yeah, no, I understand. Overall, I know where you live. I'm just kidding.
For you guys, because I did, you know, I noticed the phone calls and everything went down considerably once we took care of some of those minor electrical issues early on. How did you guys overall feel about the display that you guys had with Christmas?
The holiday lights.
I liked it. I thought we were getting a big red bow.
Yeah, I kind of thought there was going to be a big bow
like
too.
A big red bow on the top. I thought he said.
When we start having our budget workshops, I'm going to try to invite them over here to a meeting and kind of go over some things so you guys, as a whole, as a forum, can give them some direction. They'll come back to you with a nice rendering.
The only thing that, you know, was what I mentioned to you, is I would prefer if they had that one string of red lights around the top of the trees, like they do with all the rest of the developments.
Anything like that, I don't think they'll charge an extra for that. It's just a request that we have to put in writing. You guys are doing year to year right now. You only did a 1 year thing.
So it's got a little color.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, so we just had a 1 year contract with that person.
Correct. From what I saw, it was just 1 year, and we went with that option. I know we kind of did things. Again, what I want to do now that we're not, now that we're caught up on with the way our budget's set up, is to basically start having these conversations in the spring when we start having our early budget workshop. Invite them here. They're in the middle of tearing down all their displays right now. Give them about another month and they'll come over here, and I want them to meet with you guys at the forum, and you guys just give them some notes, some feedback, try to give them some clear direction, and they'll come back to you guys with some options and we can talk about it at the next meeting.
Hey, team, this is Carlos.
Yes.
But the only thing that I would suggest tonight is that to help ease the feedback and somewhat disgruntledness of a few neighbors. Let's say a few, but I think that we should, at least next time, get multiple quotes and have that as part of our notes, so that people see that we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we're spending our money right. That would be the only feedback. But as to look, I thought it looked nice and it looked better than in the past.
You know,
the neighbors kind of strung stuff together, but you know, I think it looked a lot more like an actual community with the lights and the different reads and stuff. So I thought it was good.
Gotcha. Okay.
We had more than one quote.
We had three.
Yeah, we had a couple of
quotes. Yeah, we had
three. There was at least another company we talked to, but again, what Paul and I were mentioning to you guys, you know, is, and it's fine, I'm going to come back. I've made some other contacts throughout the past holiday season. I know a few newer companies that are upstart. And the one thing we'll talk about when we get there is nobody offers the maintenance services.
The support.
So there's other mom and pop places that will do the lights for you. They'll take them, they'll put them up, and they'll take them down. Good luck getting them to come and inspect it, you know, 2-3 times a week for you. So that's the type of thing.
Right. If the light goes out or whatever.
Those are the type of things that become a little bit more. But again, let me get you guys some other options. I do know at least 2 or 3 other smaller mom and pop operations that we can talk to.
Yep. Any other questions for Ben?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
You had said that, so those decorations now are ours. They're going to store them. That's what we paid for. Am I correct?
Well,
how it was.
You can buy that service. I don't remember what we contracted for.
That, right?
Let me take a closer look at it. But what you guys paid for was, there's different ways that they set up their contracts. There's 3-year financing where you're renting to buy, and then you're also paying just to have the light display done for a year. But yes, typically most people purchase their lights. They store them for you, and they include the maintenance. It's all part of that.
That's what I thought you had said.
But you did a term for 1 year for this one. So my point is, the point of that was just the first time we do this. in case you guys had any buyer's remorse or anything like that, I wanted to start off, we wanted to start off small, right, because there's no commitment beyond this year.
So we own those lights now, is what you're saying.
Let me get back to you on that, because that's the one part I need to check out.
But that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That was discussed, but what we ended up buying, I don't have it right in front of me, but we'll find out.
Yes, I'll get back to you, I'll send you, okay.
I thought we were going to have a UFO in front, because I thought that was in the picture that they talked about.
Well, you can look at it after. It was in the initial package when we were going to do the front entrance and the pool. But then when we just went to the front entrance, I don't think the big red bow was part of it.
From what I remember, I knew that already. I did check it. I know that what I got confused too is the sprays, okay? I thought had a red bow in it. That's what it was.
They did.
Ornamental bowls, right?
The sprays had a red bow.
That's what they did. The way they drew it on the sketch, I think, at the top is what made it confusing. It's a light bulb. So let me look at it. Do you have that one with you?
Yes.
Because there were two. You looked at option one and option two, which was the 3 years or 1 year.
But the point is, at another meeting. He'll come in with his just previous year's design, take feedback, or we'll give him feedback, and he'll come
with
option A, B, and C, and you'll get to choose.
I liked it, and I thought that it wasn't too much.
Right.
Because we're not that big of a community, we're not silver pops.
There's no bowl in this proposal that you guys accepted. And I got confused with it too, but that little symbol that they put at the top center there is for perimeter lighting. There's a legend on this page right here that says that perimeter lighting.
Because I waited the whole season. Me too.
I have to tell you, every day I go, where is that damn bow?
Listen, I'm sorry. I waited 2 weeks for those custom sprays, and my grandkids could have made them in about 2 hours.
Are they available?
I think a lot of this has to do with us at the 11th hour coming in. I think we approved this in October, right?
Yes, we did. I think it was really well done for what our community is. I mean, let's face it, our community is not Silver Pines. We're not.
So this year you're going to get in the cycle at the beginning.
Right.
You'll have more time for feedback and questions, and it'll take a big step.
I'm sure it'll be.
There's a range of options out there, and we'll do it a lot sooner, so that everything that you guys want will be already made, prefabricated, whatever it is, so that installation goes smoothly.
So we'll have the big red bow.
If you guys want one, they'll be good.
Well, it's going to depend on what his grandkids are doing.
I got you.
Yeah, we'll check their schedule too.
But on the other hand, I did have a lot of neighbors say to me that they looked very nice. Me too.
Even my immediate neighbors, people who moved away, somebody had put a picture up of it, and somebody was saying something mean, and they texted me, and they're like, it's really pretty, I wish I still lived there just to see that. So it was nice.
Especially once they got the photo cell squared away, because one half would light at 5 o'clock, and the other half would light at 6 o'clock.
These are all growing pains, first time, So now we got all that framework in place, it'll be easier.
I love that you noticed that.
I'm going to tell you a funny story.
Yeah, this goes much smoother in communities that are busier and don't have as much free time as us. So.
I'm going to tell you a funny story.
I can't help it if I get off work before dark.
You're a lucky man.
No. I'm going to tell you a funny story about those lights. So it was about 11 o'clock at night. Of course, I'm in my pajamas. And I read on Facebook that half the lights are out. And there were comments made that these people would be hired for $2,000 to replace the lights. Okay? So I said to myself, let me take a ride out there and see if the lights are really off. So I put my sneakers on, drove out there, nice and slow. I could see, going out, I could see half of them not lit. I went around very slow, and I came in, and I heard. I was gonna get out of the car, I had a flashlight with me. I was gonna see if they were plugged in. This car pulls up in back of me, and I'm like, darn. That car's staying right there, not getting out of my car. So about 5 minutes went by. The person is still there, and I'm still in my car. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll ride around the neighborhood. When all of a sudden, that car in back of me put his lights on. He was a policeman. And he put the lights on. He scared me half to death. Okay? He then pulls up alongside of me and So I'm over here, and so he's over there. So I put my window down on the passenger side, and he has his window down. Now he sees it's an old lady, and he goes, "Ooh, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I was going to ask you the same question. You were back in my car for a few minutes. You scared me, you know." I said, "I'm on the CBD board," I said, "and I wanted to check the lights if they were plugged in because they're out." I said, "So I was sitting there, but I didn't dare get out of the car because
you were
parked behind me, kind of scared me." So he said, "Okay, I'll get out with you." So we both got out together. We checked the lights, and he said he was sitting in the dark over there because he was watching just to see if anything was going to go on in our neighborhood. And then he lives in our neighborhood. He introduced himself to me, and we looked, the lights were plugged in, so then in the morning I called Ben to say that the lights were half off. But I have to say the policeman was very nice. He showed me where he lived, told me if I needed something, you know, just to go to his house and tell him, you know. So he was very nice, but I scared the poor guy because he was like, "Ooh!" I said, "Yeah, you didn't expect to see some old lady at 11 o'clock at night in her pajamas."
Well, I think it was the day after Christmas, I drove out there and the lights were off altogether. And I got out of my truck and all the lights were unplugged.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Suspicious. All right. We'll look at that.
We'll take care of these meetings. I'm just by, we'll have a report next week.
Any other questions for Ben? Thank you, Ben. Under manager's report, one of the things we do between now and June is we propose the 2023 budget, believe it or not. Probably around April, I'll have a draft for you. I'm not proposing any changes to the budget this year. Typically, you know, when you just do an assessment increase, that should last a few years, unless you have a new service that you don't know about.
Right.
So that's really just the only thing coming. Should be pretty quiet. If there is a new management company in your HOA or new leadership, be sure to get the lead person my cell phone and let me, you know, have a conversation with them. Tell them how we operate and how the ideal intersection would look like, and you know, go that path. And if, you know, if they hire a new manager, the same thing. So if anybody's involved, just keep me in the loop.
Yeah,
that'd be great. That's all I have. Next thing on your agenda are the financial reports. Your balance, our check run balance sheet are in there. The good news is your taxes came in this year. Happens every year, by the way. But they came in a little early, so we appreciate that. We had a lot of very generous contractors that waited to be paid because we ran out of money last year in terms of things that we contracted right in October. You don't get the money for that till December. So those couple months, we normally have savings from prior year, which we'll have hopefully this year. But we appreciate everyone's patience, but everybody's paid up to speed, no problems. Is there a motion on the financial reports? Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Cheryl, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, and any others? You got most of your comments, I think, under Ben's report. Anything else going on out there we can help you with? I drove by this morning. Place looked good. Hey, Carlos, go ahead.
Were you asking if there's anything else that you want to talk about?
Yes, sir.
So the only thing I wanted to verify, and I had some questions, for entrance to the pool, which I had a question. If a person got their code and they had it on their phone and they get a brand new phone, well, does the old code still work, or do they have to get a new code because they're getting a new code and they have to pay for the new code, even though they have one before?
Carlos, okay, so what happens is when you get a new phone, we have to send you another code. So the old code won't work.
But you don't have to pay for it, is what she's saying.
Yeah, no, you don't
have to. You have to pay for it. We have to pay for it. We pass the costs on to the person.
Okay, so if that's the case, we have to change that. Because
that's ridiculous.
New phones all the time. But Yeah. And I think that we are, we're not being fair to our people in our community. If we say, okay, we're giving you the code now, but if you get a phone, guess what, you're going to pay for it. But that to me is going to make a lot of people mad because we are paying for that pool and the maintenance of that pool in our CBD stuff. Now we're saying, hey, don't go get a new phone. If you need a new phone, then you're going to have to pay again. And to me, I don't think that that's right. And how many, and the other question came is, because I didn't remember, is how many free codes did they get?
So I got the answer for that, Carlos. So first off, it's two for free. The heads of household, the way we always do it, and that's very common in a lot of districts, each head of household gets one free off the jump. One thing I just want to understand, you guys can do it however you want because it's your funds. What I want you to understand is you guys pay for a bulk. So let's just say you order 1,000 codes, okay? You're paying for those 1,000 codes. So basically, she has up to 1,000 to assign to people. We do the first two for free, and anybody that has kids that are of age and anybody else living in the house that we verify that wants to get one, they pay through the PayPal link that we have set up on the website. If you guys want to change those rules, I get it. People do get new phones. It's a valid question. But just keep
how
in mind, you are paying
$75.
Each code that gets distributed. What was happening initially, and Myra was able to help steer the ship there last summer, was that a lot of people were trying to share codes, invalidating them, asking for another code. So every time a new code had to be issued, it was taken from that 1,000 code bank that you paid for, and a lot of codes got lost in the shuffle in that process. Now that we have everything smooth and organized, I'm just letting you guys know there's going to come a point where when you do start running out of codes, you're going to have to purchase another bulk, you know, of the code, and that's what the cost is for, is just to offset some of that expense, because you guys are eating the majority of it as is.
Yeah, there's two sides to it.
I guess my opinion on that is we should.
All
of a sudden, I'm gonna admit. You know what? I think that we should monitor by house. I don't know if we do it by
and then.
The reason I'm saying is because there's probably a lot of people residents, but I notice a lot of people are getting pulled through, so people aren't going to use them. But I think that we're setting ourselves up, and I don't think it's fair to a person in the community that if they get a new phone, now they're also paying just to get access to a pool that they already paid for and they should already have access to.
Exactly. Just give me a key back.
It's different to say if for some reason they just didn't, but I mean, there's a lot of people that when the new iPhone comes out, they get a new iPhone. There's people that are on certain plans every 2 years.
I just want to say one thing.
We're setting ourselves up there. And I personally think I just have
okay, first of all, Carlos, first of all, we do not bear the cost for you to get a new phone. It's not our fault you went and out got a new phone. It's not mandatory that you go out and get a new phone.
My phone breaks, I need a new phone.
Granted, your phone breaks, you need a new phone.
Right, so why should I have to pay another $75 for a code? No, I agree with you, Carlos.
It's $25, by the way. We charge
$25. It's
$25.
Oh, I thought it was $75.
No,
$25.
The keys used to be $75.
Oh, the keys, yes, right. Yes.
Well, can I ask, not make a decision at this meeting, but maybe you could give us some feedback. Do you have the information to say how many people call to say that they got a new phone?
Yeah, how big is the problem?
Yeah, how big is
to be honest with you, like now, especially during the holidays,
yes,
it was like I got maybe like 10 people asking.
Because they lost their phone?
No, because they got a new phone.
There's two policy concepts here. One is
go back to everybody saying, well then let's just bring back the keys because I don't want to have to pay every time I need a phone. And I can understand it because I'm also a resident in there I'm saying I just got a new phone. I think I've only had one code. As a person who pays for the pool to be maintained, you pay for the use of the pool, all that. The person who's getting the pool, it's not a burden on them, but it's not like you're paying for my new phone. You're paying, I should be allowed to get in the pool no matter what. As long as I'm a resident neighborhood and I'm paying off my fees and I'm doing what I do, I should be able to get it pulled. Now, I don't think that I should have 500 codes to be able to get in, but if I get a new phone, then I should be able to get a new code and not be charged. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so the board's going to need to pick a policy. It sounds like there's a couple of schools of thought. But in general, the policy on a fee needs to be considered. One of which is, the other argument that's not in this room, and maybe in this room and hasn't spoken, is say I don't use the pool at all. Why should a percentage of my CDD dollars go for the person who's getting a new phone every year? That's a fair argument, just as much as the person who says, why am I paying for the chemicals in the pool? But the argument is the pool benefits you as an asset, and whether you use it or not is your choice. But the cost of a user fee, basically the use of access, is a valid cost. Now, the other side of the thing is, okay, you don't want to nickel and dime residents who are paying fees. That's the other side. Nobody likes to be nickel and dime. Well, $25 is not a nickel and dime, but it's also not excessive. It's not $150 trying to make money on it. So if you wanted to, you could do anything along the spectrum. You could go hard over to one side and say, everybody wants new codes, it's free. The next step down would be, it's free up to X number of people per house. Two or four is what most choose. Or the third stepping point down that line is a break on the fee. It costs us $25, you pay $15. And that, so the policy world is, in, you don't want to incentivize the behaviors that aren't fair. And if you give it away free, there's no regard to the your role in de-incentivizing getting new phones is not adhered to. And is it necessary? That's y'all's choice. So somewhere on that spectrum is a choice you get to make.
Yeah, my phone cracked. I'm going to get a new phone within the next 6 months.
Yeah, so that we're not saying don't get a new phone.
Yeah,
we're just saying that
now you're saying I'm going to have to pay.
We're subsidizing.
Code.
100%, 25%, one of four residents, some.
I think that because, I mean, I use the pool twice a year when
right.
My grandkids are here.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they say it's a good thing that we think about it.
Because there's other people that use it as a baby.
So just, consider the range that I laid out.
Yeah.
And you as a policy board have to choose not just for your own usage, but for the whole. And the argument on both sides, if the person doesn't want to use the pool, should they be subsidizing the one who wants to use it beyond the asset?
Right.
Something to think
what
about.
What does it cost per code to get?
Well, I'll get the exact price. Right now it's $20 or $25.
What does it cost us?
I'll talk to the vendor. I'll ask you guys pay for the bulk of those codes. Like, you pay for a lump sum for the thousand codes.
Yeah, and there's two different prices. One was the setup fee and the rollout. That was, we ate that. That was more expensive.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of computer setup, in the web, interaction type stuff. Now that it's running, it's a much less, we don't pay the vendor very much anymore.
Right.
It's really a routine. So we'll come back at the next meeting with some data for you.
Busy over there, let's come back with some data.
Because we are going to start, it's going to,
Real quick, one more question about it. So let me ask you this then. If I have a code and I move out of the neighborhood, can we turn the person's code off?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we did the person.
So here's just a thought. So why not if the person said, hey, I got a new phone, we say, okay, disable their old code and give them a new code.
Because
now that now a household chooses.
Yeah, so
because we have to
just gotta wait for him to stop. Yeah, Carlos. So if you had a policy, which you do not have, you can adopt one, to say the first up to four are always free. So there's a neutral number of accounts per household. So if somebody moves out and a new person comes in, you could say that house is always going to be paid for four accounts at all times. That's fair. I mean, you could win that argument. The fifth and sixth accounts, you always have to pay for it. You don't have that policy, but that's on that spectrum I just describe, you could choose something like that. They're not renewable and they're not transferable.
Oh, they're not. So your code is 1, 2, 3, 4 and you move out, can't.
They do not transfer.
You can't give it back to them so that they can give it to me.
No,
that's not.
Digital. because it's digital.
Yeah, the whole, one of the principles of the system is the integrity of that code is assigned to just that phone. Because if it were transferable, some sharp grandkid of Russ's would learn how to hack it and transfer it to another phone. And then you'd be defeated.
Right. And so,
and we're also making sure that only 18 and over is able to get
whatever our rules are. Right? I don't,
yeah. We do have a vetting. Don't worry about that. We have.
Yeah, no, I'm just making sure because I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something to chew on. And we'll talk next meeting.
I just have a question.
Yes.
So you said each house gets two. Mm-hmm.
Correct. That's the policy you guys established. It.
Right. So, anyways, I'm a household with one.
Yes.
So let's say I get a new phone. Is my second one free?
No,
your
second one is
free. Or do I pay for it?
We don't keep track of who it is. You get two free codes.
Yeah, right now you're up to two.
You get two.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And you could talk about once a year, those two people can get a renewal. If they break their phone every month, you know, that's not fair. So maybe that person has to pay out, you know, two a year or one a year. Some, you know, you could set that line and staff will follow it.
I'll give you my sales pitch that I do here. Here, people lease their car 2 or 3 years. They pay for a sticker on their car. When they get a new car, if it's a lease, you know, sometimes we get a complaint, hey, I'm paying $20 for a sticker. It's just offsetting the cost. Trust me, we need money on that too. And so when that happens, I just tell everybody, hey, look at it. For $20, you're getting 2-3 years of access to the community. $20 every 2-3 years, not divide that by three, is not a bad investment, you know? So that's what we
but if you were to tell me that, I would say.
I would tell you that.
I pay every year for the pollution.
Sure.
And then the argument back would be the person who doesn't have a car is helping you pay for your lease program.
No, I get you. I get it.
I know. Yeah. I'm just trying to make it look. There's always two schools of thought on that. So.
Yeah. So at a later time.
Yeah.
But right now your policy is two per household are free and replaceable for free.
Think of it as a gym membership. You pay for your gym membership every year. You pay for access to the pool when you get a new phone. That's all there is to it.
I don't think of it that way.
You're supposed to say that and you can't say that. That's like if you pay for your house every year, and your mortgage company says, hey, I'm going to charge you an extra $50 every year to let you live in your house. No, you already paid for that. So I don't think you should try to use that as an excuse for people in the neighborhood, because that, to me, that would just piss the neighbor off. It would piss me off. I don't like that excuse. I think that as a board, we should go and look and say, how can we do it? How can we make it where our people of our community that pay in, because we're representative of people in that community, how can we make it where if you get a new phone, then you should be able to re-get a code? Now, if you look at it, a person that keeps on continuing multiple codes every month, now that's a little bit different. Now we may say, look, well, this is that, or whatever.
No, we need
but so
for calls. We need to have a policy.
We have to think about it as
one annual is fair.
Huh?
Once a year is fair.
If my neighbor came to me and said, hey,
once
every 2 years.
I think once every 2 years is fine, but we'll talk about it here. Once a year, I don't get it. You know me, I like the
Carlos, something that you want that Paul mentioned is just, you know, maybe consider giving somebody to cover that window once every 2 years. Once every 2 years, you know, since they kind of covered that, the terms of a mobile phone contract, you get, you know, you if you use your first two free codes, you get one more free code every 2 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Just think about it, Carlos.
At least doing that is we're looking at for a
there you go. There you go. There you go.
Oh my God.
All right. Okay. For another day. But something to think about.
We'll come back with those pricing on the code. Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. Any other questions from the board?
Yes, about the pool. The security of people, mm-hmm. They're still there on weekends?
Yes.
And are they having a specific time, or are they picked, or let's say, you know, at least the guard, is he able to come in? Let's say he decides, I want to come in at 11 today, I feel like I don't want to come in at 12 to 8. Are they taking their own time, or do we have a set time for them to come in?
I know that last time what we spoke about was for them to choose their own time. Or unless you guys want to put them on
the schedule. I think they should be on a schedule.
Yeah, I think they should be on a schedule.
Both are true at the same time. You want some randomness to the schedule, but you also want to cover the higher risk periods. So if you can do both, that's ideal. Mm-hmm. Because random, it tends to catch, you know, because if every incident happens when no one's there, then your schedule's not working. So you a little bit random where they're not as predictable is helpful for security, just generically speaking.
Random is fine, but we should control it.
Absolutely.
No, I understand that, but I don't think your trouble is going to happen really at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And if they decide I want to commit.
And usually you have a much...
It's usually a little bit later.
Yeah, so you have a seasonal schedule and you have an off-season schedule typically with pools, especially if they're not heated. And usually holidays, no matter what, our peak because kids are out of school. So I don't know what the actual schedule is for off-season.
Yeah, but I agree.
Off-season, I know it's been a little bit lighter, but we try to target again after hours and the weekends because before, when we first started with this, as soon as the sun would set and the bar would leave, you basically had people waiting to just jump the fence to come in there. So what they started doing when they started making adjustments is 1 to 2 hours later they'd come in, especially on days that they noticed that there was more activity, nocturnal activity, and they would stay till about 11 o'clock at night, give or take. So that way you have a little bit better coverage because we'd have people that would sneak, you know, beers and stuff like that out there and start drinking in the pool deck.
The pool closes at dark.
Sunset, yes.
Plus, when the sun goes down at 5 o'clock, 8-hour shift, they're in at 11. 11 to 7.
Yep.
Yes, but...
So the schedule...
activity, you know, them jumping the fence more in the dark.
Do you guys want to appoint somebody from the board that can communicate with management as far as what they're observing at the pool and we can make adjustments as needed? Management can go and make adjustments as needed with the contractor. I think that would be a good idea. And that way we're not publicizing to our schedule either for everybody to know.
Yeah, that's excellent. So, Cheryl.
Yeah, well, the only person that really lives near the pool is Carlos, and he's never home.
Yeah. Carly does.
I'm bringing it up because I stopped at the pool periodically on the weekends, you know. I mean, when I walked in, Carlos, and he's like,
you wanna...
oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, what time did you come? Oh, I came at 11 o'clock, and I'm like, to myself, okay, that's a little bit early, you know, did you come? So that's why I'm questioning, you know, because I think we need to decide... Okay, maybe Saturdays, we want them to come at this time, and Sundays we want them to come at this time, you know?
You sound like a strong candidate for that appointment.
I know I scare people when I start to...
No, I think it'd be great. I just think, having a little bit, because again, we're not there 24-7, you guys live here.
No, I have stopped in on the weekends and, you know, questioned and, what time are they coming in? That's why I'm bringing it up, because I feel that they're making their own time.
Okay. We will pin that down a little bit more, but I do think some communication,
I'll go the next couple of, weekends.
I mean,
and check
I think the major part, the major reason we even hired any security was to stop people from throwing parties and jumping over the fence.
To enforce our rules.
So we've fixed the fence part for the most part. If you want to try and climb over that fence, good luck. You get in the pool by going upside down and backwards and around like a contortionist and get over that fence, more power to you.
Yeah,
but at 11 o'clock in the morning, there are people showing up there with boom boxes, coolers full of beer, tables, balloons, parties.
Well, then if we see that all the time, we may have to put, two guards on at the top, sometime, because you can't have the guard can't start at noon to it's only noon to 8 if you're having a lot of if we notice that there's a lot of trouble at 9 and 10,
well then we would adjust the schedule, but what I'm trying to say is that
11
o'clock is not
there's a budgetary limit to the schedule.
11 o'clock is not an ordinate time to start.
If we don't see any trouble at 11 o'clock,
there's other ways to tackle it.
Yeah.
Spending a lot of money on labor is not necessarily the most efficient. The schedule is budgetary, it has limitations, but the other thing is if the feedback comes to staff, we can document who it was and go towards the membership removal or suspension process. So there's more tools in the toolbox than just moving the guard around. So we want to do both. The most efficient is, the least expensive is to have, obviously, you got to have both. You have to have the security guard there for the visible deterrent, but a couple letters a year to a few people who are trying to throw a party that's not allowed in the rules, who gets a friendly letter that reminds them that they're not allowed to do that, and they were witnessed at the pool. Yeah, so all of that, it requires everyone's help. So if anyone happens to see anyone, you don't have to interact with them, but just tell us when and when it was, what day it was. We'll pull the camera video, find out who it was. Most of you guys know everybody, or we'll know somebody who knows somebody, you know, because of your Facebook portfolios, everybody puts all their information visible right there. It's pretty easy to figure out who they are and go from there.
Cool.
I'll put Russ's name on it, on the letter.
And put Russ's name on the letter.
I was kidding. No, we did. But those are your tools.
I stop periodically anyways and yeah. Walk in and see how things are.
This time of year, they're not going to swim.
This time it's quiet because it's cool.
Right.
Paul, do we have to make a motion as far as maybe Cheryl being appointed?
No, I don't think so. But if, you know, staff sets the schedule,
yes.
The budget is the first rule. Mm-hmm. The second rule is most effective.
Yes.
And that advice can come from one board member.
I was going to say, we can talk about it in another meeting, yeah. You know, once I stop in a few times. And it's cool right now, so we're not going to have so much trouble.
Well,
right
we want to fine tune it for the busy season.
Right.
Yeah, so the schedule's not going to fit every scenario, and we can't afford every scenario.
Right.
It's not 24 hours. So we have to accept when things happen, when there isn't staff there, that we use the other approach. Good. Any other supervisor comments or questions?
I have nothing.
Awesome. Your audience has spoken with their feet once again. Thank you. And motion to adjourn is in order.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Not second.
All right. Thank you all. And we are concluded.